Perfect Parenting Podcast. Here we are for another week.
Let's do it again. We just paused in each other's eyes.
Stare into your gaze.
I have to start every episode like that, but I do.
You do. You like to look at my into my gaze.
I do. You're captivating. All right. Meme time. Move on.
I'm going to post a video of just me staring at the camera just so they could have the same effect that you have.
They can experience it. People don't always know this, but Brittany's weird. Brittany's weird.
I've been married to you for 20 years, so maybe you're...
Are you saying it's my fault that you're weird?
I'm not a powerless victim. I'm just stating a fact. that's all I was saying.
All right, Danny Soap. Okay. I'm trying to read the meme here.
I'm ready for you. Staring at the camera. Ashley's just making noises over there. She's excited about the meme.
She's throwing stuff around. It says this. It looks like one of those like 1950s almost couples. It's kind of a...
Like a cartoon drawing type
cartoon drawing, yeah. And it's two young parents about to pick up a baby, I'm assuming from the hospital.
I think they're washing it in their sink.
Okay. So they're washing it. I see it now. I missed the faucet. So they're washing the baby in the sink, all right, Brittany?
We're picking him up from the hospital because the stork dropped it off. So we're going to get it. It's the 1950s. I mean, that's how it worked, right? We pushed the beds together. And
are you done now?
No. Yep. I am done.
Stare at the camera some more. Oh, boy. We have fun here. Okay. So they're washing the baby in the sink. That's very clear. You should see that when you see this meme. Mm-hmm. And it says this. I wish we even had a clue as to what we were doing.
Yes.
That was a long meme description.
It was fun.
We got there.
But
it's true. My goodness.
I mean, when we brought Delaney home from the hospital.
We were 19 and 21.
Yes. And the photos of us, I thought, why would they ever give us a baby? So we'd look like we are irresponsible humans just looking at us.
Yeah.
And they sent us away. You were even sick. So I went home myself to my parents' house.
I think I threw up that night in the hospital.
That morning.
Yeah. Like in the hospital.
Like, yeah. You did.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, don't touch the baby. That's probably where the hell I can't do it with you. I have to do it without you.
That's started. Where I started. Day one.
I was traumatized.
Oh, gosh.
I need a sozo probably. Mm-hmm. But that was where that moment happened. I went home to our house, and there was a bunch of other people that were kind of sick or recovering. You were still sick upstairs. And I sat there, and Dad came and got me because he's like, I don't think you should stay there with your brand new baby. Which was a really weird experience to go back to my old bedroom because everybody in the house that was staying there was all sick, or most of them. And I am this infant, and I'm in my bedroom. And I was like, well.
You're 19, so you're a teen pregnancy.
I was 20 at that one. I had her.
You're 20 now. You're right.
I was 19 the entire pregnancy, and my brothers told everybody it was a teen pregnancy. They thought it was really funny.
You're 20. You're old now. You're 20.
I was old, yeah. Seriously. Anyways,
you know, I when we talk about this, and we'll get into our topic for today in just a minute, but I think it was Levi, your brother, when he was in high school. He came home one day and he's like, you know, they can teach us. It's a little graphic here. I'm just wanting, in case his little ear is listening, maybe pause for a second, come back to us. But he says, they will teach us how to put a condom on a banana, but they won't teach us how to connect with our girlfriend.
Communicate.
Or with our parents.
Yeah.
And actually communicate. Well, and I think it's kind of similar. Like, we start a family, we have a baby. We have no idea what we're doing.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
We barely could budget our checkbook. But you know what? We could make a baby.
We couldn't keep a fish alive.
Nope, but we could make a baby.
Three fish we couldn't keep alive. But we can make a baby.
But we brought a mouse home because we thought that'd be fun. And we can make a baby. You know what? Priorities. It's fine. Well, that brings us to the topic. It says, what are the five things you should know before starting a family? Mm. We've actually gotten this question a lot lately at different places we were at, which I don't know why questions go in waves, but and they're in like different parts of the country. So they're not listening in on the conversation. But it has been a lot of new parents that are pregnant, expecting their first, hear us speak. And then they're like, okay, give me the top three books that changed your life that will, you know, make me an excellent parent from when this thing comes out. Like, there are no such books.
The Bible.
They don't exist.
Yeah.
The Bible, yes. But I don't, I mean, I don't know that the Bible even really covers much of toddlerhood. You know, they kind of whole skip that section of Jesus. I was really curious as to what Mary was doing with Jesus as a toddler, but that was not even in there. So
Jesus stopped walking in the pool.
Yeah, seriously. You can't turn your milk into wine, Jesus. No, none of that was happening. Anyways, okay. So the first one, though, that we talk about, I think it's number one priority, is your marriage. Mm-hmm. Which, if you were here last week, we talked about that before. But it does. It's like, if you're having a baby to solve a marriage problem, let me just tell you, your marriage problems are going to be there. They're just going to be there at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
and 1 a.m. and 5:45 a.m. and all the rest of the a.m.s, because that baby's going to wake up and then, oh, I'm still angry at you. So ignoring that marital issue, or minimizing areas that we could grow in, and kind of turning a blind eye to it, I would say you're not going to add anything of value to starting a family if you've got if that's rocky.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying that you have to wait until you've got a perfect marriage to have a family, because I don't think anyone will ever achieve that. 20 years in, and we're still, I can be a booger for sure. So there's no goal of perfection, but the ability to foster connection as a priority that we are chasing after, I think that helps.
Well, the thing I think about right here is, if you haven't seen Danny's illustration on boundaries and the circles in Keep Your Love On, or on our course on Life Academy, it's called Relationship 101. And there's probably other people have done similar things, but just the idea of these concentric circles, it starts with God.
Yeah.
He is the first relationship that I'm protecting, and no one else gets that spot.
Right.
And we often give it away, our God spot, to different people.
Our spouses included.
Yep. And then there's a spouse. And when you get married, that has to be clear that this next ring out is just for my spouse. Mm-hmm. And we talked to lots of people whose parents or parents-in-law is trying to sneak into that circle. They're trying to stay there because they've been there for so long. For at least 18 years, they've been in that circle. And then comes the kids, and then comes friends and other family. But there's these boundary lines we have to learn to protect. And I think if a child's trying to solve a marriage problem or something else, or we haven't solved this marriage clarity and boundary line yet, then the children are going to sneak into that world. And they shouldn't be there.
No.
Marriage is the first relationship I'm protecting.
Yeah.
And we talked a lot about culture this last episode, so go listen to that again. But I think learning how to hold the boundary line and keep it clear is going to really help you moving forward as you build a family.
Yeah, I think how you handle conflict and communication in your marriage is going to just be on steroids when you have kids.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of conflict and lots of communication that happen when you introduce a baby.
Yeah.
And it's just this dance of navigating. And if there's any selfish still going on in your marriage, you know, kids will just try and throw gasoline on that and see, oh, let's burn that up real fast. You want to know who's selfish? Me. And so, again, that's why I think marriage is number one.
Yep.
All right, you want to tackle number two?
Well, it flows right into this one, which is a shared goal. Having a shared goal that we are going the same direction. It's no fun to get to your parenting journey and find out, oh, that's what you believe?
Yeah, that should not be where you find
that's
that
how
out.
You want a parent?
Yeah.
You only want one child?
Yeah.
That's how you view money? That's what you think about the Lord? And all of a sudden, we're discovering all these things that we probably should have had a conversation about and clarified and build a shared goal around. Like, we said this in the last one as well, but we might be going a different direction. Or we might be going the same direction. We just get there different ways. Mm-hmm. We just have a different perspective about it. But if that's not clear, this is, I mean, we're going to say this probably at every point here, but children just, what's the word? They just blow this stuff up. Mm-hmm. They just kind of bring fuel to that fire. And if you haven't contained it, mm-hmm. it's just going to be a forest fire.
Right.
So building a shared goal is really important. I think part of my notes here is having a value for each other, which I love when you talk about that. So
you want me to talk about that?
You should talk about that.
You want me to talk about how much I love our differences? I didn't love our differences. I was so afraid of our differences. And I really, in my core of being, thought there was something wrong with you because you were so different than me. But because we, you know, the early years of us, so hostile and disconnected, when we grew in self-awareness, we were able to grow in our shared goal. We were able to find new truth and revelation that led us to this place of, oh, that difference that you have is actually a huge benefit in my life because I don't have this. And I'm probably never going to have it like you have it. And so I have looked at this as a weakness or a flaw. And now I see it as a strength and a valuable component to me being successful and us being successful. Mm-hmm. And so I've stopped looking at our differences as threats. And but it came through growing, and it came through us becoming more unified and putting that shared goal on display. So that's you know, if you don't, well, there's some things that, you know, I do that you probably don't ever love and may never love, and vice versa. But it's not like I have resentment or am fostering something in my heart towards you. It's just like, oh, whatever, you know. It's not worth fighting over.
No.
It's not worth trying to change. And then there's some things where I'm like, I get to give you feedback. Like, I don't, that experience isn't fun for me. Mm-hmm. And I have, there's, with maturity, it feels like there comes this ability to know what's worth fighting for and what's not. And that's what I learned, was what's worth our connection, what's not. And again, I think our connection really grew with our shared goal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the, in its purest form for us and for a lot of people we've talked to, the shared goal typically sounds something like, to have and protect a loving, intimate relationship first in our marriage, mm-hmm. and then to foster that and grow that in our family with each of our children.
Yep.
And when that's the shared goal, I can now find value for what I think is weird about you, what's so different about you. I'm leaning in because my goal is to stay connected to you,
yep.
rather than to try and change you or hide from you or whatever that. Whatever other goal wants to sneak in there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
All right.
The next one is clear expectations. And we were talking about this, trying to come up with these different five that we had. Because I don't, you know, we get these topics and sometimes we're like, okay, we got to think about what would be the five that we'd highlight. So clear expectations came to mind because when you bring a baby into this world, and you are hoping that you're going to read all these books that are going to help you with these expectations. I don't know, unless you're around babies all the time, it's hard to really predict. And then even your baby, every single baby that comes out of you is like completely different. Mm-hmm. And none of them come with an owner's manual, and none of them come with like a return label. If you could try again, like it didn't fit right. There's none of that. This is your chosen baby.
A return label.
I know, it's maybe too far. But the reality is, like, this is what you're having to learn to embrace. So there's – everyone wants to prepare so that they can perfect this thing that you cannot fully prepare for.
Yep.
And that's also the beauty of children, is they disrupt our lives, and it can be a beautiful experience or it can be the suffocating experience. And there might be times where it give and takes in seasons and we have to change. But clear expectations are that helps us be successful. So, you know, we had to figure out, because I was a working mom, it was not very fun for me earlier on when the babysitter was solely my responsibility, mm-hmm. because I'm the woman. And I'm like, hang on a second. I don't like that one. you know, what, how come this becomes solely my job when it's all, these are all of our children. They're not just mine on babysitting duty, you know. And then there are things that, you know, we probably defaulted to more than others, and it was our playing to our strengths. But there's also moments where, you know, you were never going to nurse our kids. Like, we could just say that as factual. That was never going to happen.
Ever.
Ever. And it's not capable.
Impossible.
Impossible. But you can change their nappy. Just for you.
A little Aussie in there.
Uh-huh. In the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. To let me go back to sleep from nursing. Mm-hmm. So there became this partnership of, how do we serve each other? How do we serve this baby? How do we adjust? And I think kind of going back to the beginning of, you know, marriage, conflicts, and communication, because these clear expectations are going to come up, and then you're going to have to be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't talk about it, then you have all these blanks that you're filling in. And my mom always says we fill in the blanks poorly. And so that's where I think resentment sets in. That's where we start believing the worst about our spouse. We start assigning blame or intent. Like, he just walked right out of here when he could smell the baby was clearly poopy, and he didn't even try to acknowledge it. Like, so here I am now blaming you for something that maybe you didn't smell it. Maybe you were actually going to get the diaper and you got a phone call, and I don't know. This is the hard part about clear expectations. Like, there's lots of things that are going to be thrown at you, and if you can't talk about them, yep, it's going to be hard.
Yep.
Introducing the Mindset Tapestry, a game-changing way to boost your child's confidence and positivity. It's self-affirming mirror talk for kids, blending the affirmation tags and caregiver cards. It's easy to use and full of love. It strengthens the bond between caregivers and children. I love their mission: to raise a future generation of children to be authentic, purposeful, and to have a foundation of mental wellness throughout their development of their life and into adulthood. You can get a 10% discount by going to themindsettapestry.co and using the code BRITTNEY10. That's BRITTNEY10 at checkout. So go ahead and head on over to the Mindset Tapestry and get your 10% off today by using the code BRITTNEY10.
I think what then happens is the unmet expectations that you never communicated. Mm-hmm. So you're walking around, getting to places you're describing in pain, but I never actually let you in on,
yeah,
this is what I was expecting or hoping for. So to use the babysitting example you brought up,
yeah,
if you never brought that up with me, you're walking around hurt, scared, and frustrated, probably mad, right, at, he never does this. This never happens, and he never engages like this. And there's just never a clarity. That there wasn't in our case. Mm-hmm. But had there never been a clarity of Brittany has his expectations that we both carry this, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't do a good job there. That I can adjust. But now I understand the expectation inside you. Mm-hmm. And then I'm doing the same thing. You know, this would happen Saturday mornings.
Always.
We'd have chores. And there's things with the kids to be done. There's things for the house to be done. I want to go mow the lawn. I want to do this thing outside. I want to do that thing with the kids. And there's just all these expectations that for a long time we didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
And so we're just walking around going, well, you didn't, and then you didn't, and then you also didn't.
Yeah.
And why didn't you? You didn't tell me. Well, you should know by now.
Yeah. Clear expectations, it's kind of comes down to our ability to talk about our needs, yeah, and then how we experience moments that, you know, baby waking up at 3 a.m. and I have to nurse it and it needs its diaper changed. That's going to be fairly consistent. But if it's something that I never talk about and I watch you stay asleep in bed as I'm exhausted and I just am silently and secretly, I'm probably not very silent about it, but I mean, I'm secretly angry and punishing towards you, that starts to build. So this is that part of, yeah, as we face these new challenges, we need to clarify the expectations and what we need.
And, you know, I was just thinking when we started this podcast too today is every time we do a class or something, we always have either young couples who just had babies or young couples that would like a baby one day. Mm-hmm. And a couple of times we've had singles that aren't even married yet or even, yeah, dating.
Yes.
And they'll show up because there is this desire to do a good job.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I think I'm not sure there's a point where it's too early to learn. There's just going to come a point where you're going to have to put this stuff into practice. Mm-hmm. And so for those who are already down the road, you know, you're already doing this thing, you're parenting, and this just may be a bit of a measuring tool to go, okay, how are we doing clarifying expectations?
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yep. I like that. The other one, vision. We talk about that one a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been simply put that I've said, I heard it from my dad. I hear a lot of things from my dad, but it's the point in the distance that pulls you through the chaos. It's the point of where I can see in the storm where I'm trying to get to. This too shall pass. Like we can get through this, but it's because I have a great vision for our family,
yeah,
for what we're called to, you know, why we're having a family. What does that look like? Like if I don't have a vision before I start this, then I'm kind of just tossed back and forth in those moments of chaos. And it's pretty discouraging to ever feel like you're going to get to the place where you're aiming for. And I think, you know, vision is constantly adjusting, mm-hmm, you know. It's a journey that you're always on, and some places you arrive at, and some places you're just, you know, you get to spend your whole life here on earth aiming for. But the vision, being the vision leaders for your family, is crucial to the success of your family.
Yep.
And when you remove that from your gaze, it's your family that suffers. And so that's why vision is so important, that we have this together and in alignment with the kingdom.
Yep. I had this great conversation yesterday. One of our Kyler U students, your dad had just recently done a session on what he calls destiny management, mm-hmm, which is essentially he's taking Stephen Covey's material, mm-hmm, from, mm-hmm, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of our favorite books. And he talks about these 4 quadrants and beginning with the end in mind. And beginning with the end in mind is essentially he paints this picture of you're at your funeral, your own funeral, you walk in, and then you're watching all these people from your life and different roles describe the impact you had on them. Mm-hmm. And so that's the context we're coming in this meeting with. So we can start talking, and he essentially says, this idea of vision feels so overwhelming to me. Like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know how to like paint a point in the distance and go towards it. Like, what is that? How do I create this? That's okay. Let's break it down a little bit. And we actually got to, let's describe your roles and define those and just pick one. Which one do you feel most successful in right now? Mm-hmm. And for him, it was friend. In this case, it would be parent and spouse and leader. But we just had this conversation. And all of a sudden, he's getting clarity, because mm-hmm, he's like, at the end of my life, this is what I want my friends to say about me. Mm-hmm. And we finished, and you could just see this guy lit up like, that's who I'm going to be today. I can be that guy today.
Yeah.
And at the end of my life, that hasn't changed, and it's only grown, and I'm getting better at it. And he just lit up. I'm like, ah, come on, man. Go get it. And that's the piece, I think, for parents is, what do you want your children to say about you?
Right.
At the end of your life. Mm-hmm. And it can feel daunting. And one way to think about it is just begin to write down words. I want my children to say, like for me, I saw this from Bill Johnson. He said it about his dad. But I want my kids to say about me that I was their greatest encourager. Mm-hmm. So I'm living that at every opportunity I get.
Yeah. Vision really gives us courage.
Yes.
And that's the place of, you know, if you're missing that from your marriage and you're wanting to start a family, you know, that's why it's in here as the top 5 things, because you're gonna need it.
Yep.
It's gonna help you, you know, press on.
That's right.
You know, where today there are so many broken marriages that happen, or even unsatisfied marriages, and huge. There's, you know, there's a lot of components to that, but vision is one of them. If we've walked away from a place of vision that we are both partnering in, and we lack the courage to face all the hard, so we succumb to the hard,
yep,
and we then you know, fall into this place of, you know, depression or despair or settling for, you know, the lies of the enemy that comes in. So, you know, we have to keep vision loud if we want to be successful.
This is one of my favorite ones.
Okay, take it away then.
No, this one.
Oh,
the vision.
I thought you were going to the next one.
Not yet. But I'm just saying, I just think it's so vital. So, yep.
It is. And we talk about it in different ways all the time, but you asked for the top five, so it's in there. Okay, the last one, which is also one that I feel like we talk a lot about with pre-marrieds.
Yep.
That's probably the one we talk about with them the most at every time we end is this question is, you know, how's your community? So the last one would be community. Yeah. There was I put out a meme from one of our episodes. It says like, they say it takes a village to mm-hmm. raise a family. I'm wondering, is there a number I'm supposed to call? Like, are they just going to show up?
100 village.
And this is that place of community. Like yep. you need people around you to be successful because when your vision maybe gets dimmed or when your expectations get rattled, you need somebody in there that's going to be like pulling out your greatness. We talk about that a lot. Pulling out your greatness, looking at you, someone that's going in the same direction that knows how to engage you to get back in the game. And you know, this place to, you know, joy, you know, sometimes we just need to laugh at, you know, the fact that Lincoln would take all of the Band-Aids I just bought from Costco and put them all over every cabinet and his entire body. And I thought, you know what?
It's my boy.
It's a great waste of $24. That's exactly what I wanted to spend that on, you know? And so I get to have a friend to tell, to laugh at, yeah. or, you know, and then we swap these stories and it makes normal
yeah.
the inconveniences that children do bring to our life.
It makes normal what feels isolating.
Sure.
Absolutely. I think one of the reasons that we're so strong on community is we watched couples mm-hmm. that came to us for what's the five things we should be looking for.
Yeah.
And we would tell them community and they wouldn't prioritize it.
Right.
And we just watched their ship crash and burn like, oh man, you that's you. That's your life to manage.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so hard to watch that had you worked through some of the pain or insecurity and pressed into community, this could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you may have community around you, people around you that want in on your life and want to walk with you. But if you're practicing isolation, their judgment is being raged against.
Mm-hmm.
So I think isolation is a pretty common thing. Especially in parenting, it's embarrassing to share what happened at your house, to share how you handled something poorly.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to feel weak in front of other people
mm-hmm.
who you think are probably doing a great job and they have it all figured out.
Yeah,
you know, but that's usually not what you find when you find healthy community. You find out like, oh, you have that same problem.
Yeah. Making me cough.
Well, it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah. Well, it's also the part of, you know, it's hard to go and say I'm struggling or I'm scared, especially in your marriage aspect, you know, to expose what's going on. Or, you know, your kids are failing terribly and you're afraid. I mean, we're with some friends and their daughters, friends with our daughter, and we love them and, you know, she's trying to figure some stuff out. And because we have walked with them for so long in community, she's asking these questions and we're sitting at the table giving it back. And we talked about this also with our kids, like spiritual leaders mm-hmm. in another season. But what I watched happen, which this is healthy community where we are clearly going in the same direction and we are trusted yeah. boys because we've been stewarding in each other's lives and in each other's families for years. So she's asking us questions that her parents don't seem to have as much influence in because, you know, this, you tell your kid, you familiar. Know, if you brush your teeth, you won't get cavities. They're like, liar. And then the youth pastor goes, if you brush your teeth, you won't get cavities. Oh my gosh, Mom, I learned this thing. If I brush my teeth, I won't get cavities. Yeah. Okay. You're like, great. Thank you for that. Somebody told him, brush their teeth. But here we are in this conversation with her. And I watched both her parents quietly at different moments leave the room so that she could have this space with you and I. And I just thought, this is a beautiful display of community.
Trust.
And trust that you are not worried what I'm going to say and how I'm going to pour into your kid.
Such a great
And this
example.
Is the same place with marriage. You know, I need strength. And so community, that rounds us out to the last one.
Really important.
And so, again, if you were taking notes or driving, it was marriage, shared goal, clear expectations, vision, and community are the five that we would tell people before you start a family. Be proud of those.
Yeah.
That's how I would gauge that. Be proud of those.
Yeah.
Not perfect, but be proud.
Beautiful.
So.
There you go. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it. All right. So hopefully you can tell us if you are working on those.
Yeah.
And we'd love to hear how those are going and if you're proud of them. But we'll see you next time on Imperfect Parenting.